Well, welcome again. This is Brother Thurman with the ABCs of Christian Growth. Brothers and sisters, thank you for joining in today. We go back into our study of man, the measure of all things, and this is study number 13A, and we call it the letter M-2, the second lesson in the letter M, in the ABCs. Well, so far we've talked quite a bit about, I think we've had about seven lessons on this, I'm not real sure, but six or seven. And today we're going to talk some more about man, the measure of all things, and we've went through several changes concerning man. Looking through history, talking about, remember we talked about man in his past state, and then we talked about man in his present state. And then we moved on into his final state, man, his final state, and we talked about that, remember? And then we talked some and studied about the Lord Jesus Christ's relation to man and how his relationship is toward man and mankind. And we looked at some certain aspects that we needed to consider about man, for instance, the first man and the last man that the Bible talks about, the Lord God's Word talks about, and the natural man and the outward man and the inward man. And then we talked about the new man, remember? And we got into a little bit different of an avenue on our last lesson, and we were studying the scriptures concerning man and his the different parts of man, inward and outward, and the spiritual man and the physical man. But last lesson we went into a category talking about ways that man can die. And remember, we're talking about man, the measure of all things, and what man thinks of himself. And in society today, we're not exaggerating saying that man thinks that he is something. He thinks that he is the measure of all things, and you don't have to go very far to find some evidence about that out. Any of the colleges, any of the secular colleges you can go to, and anybody that believes in all this education gods and scholarships and all this kind of stuff, and you know we're not against education, but education without salvation is foolish. Any kind of education without God and without God's Word is worthless. Ecclesiastes tells us it's vanity. It's vanity. What's the use in knowing something that's going to be temporary and going to pass away? I mean, if it's not helping you and assisting you in your spiritual walk and helping you to get to heaven. I'm glad the Lord left us His book, aren't you? But we talked about ways that man can die, and we went down through there and examined that thing, and that man is really considering the ways that he can die, and we didn't even put I put as much as I could get on the page, and probably could have, and you probably could have filled a couple more pages out about ways that man can die. Considering this kind of thing about man and how he dies, and he's never been able to stop any of these ways. You know, like being submerged in water, man can't breathe in water, and you stay too long underwater, you die. And he's never been able to defeat that. You go up to Mount Everest, 29,035 feet, you only got one third of the oxygen up there. And if you get any higher than that, you get less oxygen and less. Man can't breathe up there. How come man ain't done nothing about that? How come he can't do anything about it? Because the Lord has set it up that way. That's why 93% of all humans that ever lived are now dead. They're dead. Humans die. Man dies. Sin bringeth forth death. And see, man goes around that sin part. And that's what gets everything all confused in his mind. He's running to and fro trying to get find out how to stay alive. And he's using materialistic and worldly things to try to stay alive. And that's not the way to go. That's not going to help you. That's not going to help you. Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Man just goes all the way around and round the bushes and round just anything to avoid God and avoid the Son of God and avoid the Word of God. And he don't want God. He don't want anything like that. Ever since the Tower of Babel, man's been building and said, let us make us a city and a tower. Make us. You know, that reaches heaven. Reaches heaven. And you know something that's peculiar? That's one of the big competitions in every city on the planet is who has the tallest tower. The United States had the tallest towers with the Twin Towers at one time, and it's passed here and there and everything else. I don't know. I think China's got the... I'm not sure, but either China or over in Arabia or where the Arabs are. They build some pretty tall ones, too. I think one of them, but, you know, who can build the tallest tower? Do you know that is still in man's mind all the way since the Tower of Babel? All the way since the beginning of the Scriptures. The Scriptures know what man is all about. They know what he's doing, and they're still building the towers, you see. And if we could just get a tower up there to God, you see, and they're not going to. Well, today we're going to get into another category similar to ways that men die, but this is going to be ways that man fears. And we talked about that last time. We're not going to get into that. We're going to recap it. Sorry about that. Little glitch there. Don't get on me too much. Ways that man fears. Man, at the same time that man can't do anything about death and the way that he dies, he can't do nothing. He fears. Man acts like no fear and I ain't scared of nothing. But in reality, man is scared of everything. He's scared of a lot. But one thing that they're not scared of on purpose is the Lord. Or his word. They don't reverence him and they don't reverence his word. And we talked about that reverence matter. Nothing wrong with reverence. But we're talking about fear. Being scared. There's things on this planet that men are scared of. And some are scared of heights. Some are scared of swimming. Some are scared of animals. Some, you know, I mean, just all kind of old age, death, failure. Rejection. I mean, and then we went over the top 10 fears of man from way back in 1973, and then we did one survey of fears in 2018, if you remember. And man's scared of a whole bunch of things. You know, I was just reading this morning, or not this morning, but yesterday evening, in the Scriptures where the Lord said, "Take no thought of tomorrow. Sufficient unto today is the evil thereof." You know, the Lord has given us permission not to be careful, full of care for anything. He said, don't be so worried about something. Don't put too much care in anything. And he said, take no thought. He said, no thought. Don't think about tomorrow. For tomorrow is going to take thought of the things of itself. He said, sufficient unto today. Today is the evil thereof. It's all that we can do just to get through one day dealing with temptation and evil and the things that are in this world until the Lord comes to get us. It's all that we can do. And it takes a day to get through sometimes are more pleasant than others, but the battle is raging. And when you're sincerely living for the Lord, I mean, sometimes during the day you're exhausted in the evening from just being around this world and being around the worldly ways and the worldly manners. But what we're going to talk about today concerning man. Now the Bible says this in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 20. It says, "Wherefore by their fruits ye shall know them." So the scripture says that we can identify and know people's character and know about people and know about man by looking at the fruits they bear. The Lord said no corrupt tree can bear good fruit and no good tree can bear corrupt fruit. Well, man, the measure of all things, we're going to talk about wars. Wars? What wars? You know, do you realize, have you got any idea, man's talking, out of all the things that man talks about, one thing that is contradictory in his mouth and comes out of his lung, or comes out of his the air that he breathes across his tongue, is peace. Man talks about peace so much, but if you've done a little background check on wars, the Bible says you'll know them by their fruit. Well, does man war? Why is man always in a war and always fighting if he wants peace? Because he don't mean it. You know, if you're to listen to man, the measure of all things, tell it, there's no such thing as war. There's no war but peace. Peace is going to be the end because man's going to make it happen. That's what he says. Man's going to bring in everlasting peace and all men will live in one big warm fuzzy world and throw kisses to each other and hug and smile and love will be everywhere. Do you really believe that? Look around. I mean, just look around. Do you believe that? Remember, we're to check the fruit. We're to check the fruit. All right, man says that they're bringing in the peace, and they're going to peace is going to be the end, and they're bringing in the peace, and everybody's going to love everybody, and blabbity blabbity blab blab blab. Well, let's check the fruit. All we have to do is look back and see how man has behaved among one another. If he wants peace, then the fruit of the past will tell us whether or not he means what he says, right? Wars? What wars? The Bible says in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 20, wherefore by their fruits ye shall know them. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ and the prophet Jeremiah and others addressed peace and war, but it's not the same as the world would address it. Let's look at the differences. When it comes to peace, the scriptures has things to say about peace. Yes, it does. The Bible talks about peace. The Lord's not against peace, but he's for the right kind of peace. What man calls peace is not peace, because there's no righteousness in it. There's no sanctification in it. What man refers to as peace is that nobody bothers him while he's doing his little dirties. And he get away with it, and then no big deal. And don't have to answer for it. Jeremiah chapter 8, listen to this. Jeremiah, the prophet Jeremiah, had something to say about peace. He said, for they have healed the hurt of the daughter of my people slightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. You see, this is not an old thing, this is not a brand new thing. Jeremiah is saying exactly what we're talking about right now. Peace, peace, they say. But there is no peace. But there is no peace. Peace, peace, when there is no peace. We looked for peace, but no good came. And for a time of health, and behold, trouble. That's what Jeremiah said. He said, there ain't no peace. Look around. Check the fruit. Peace, peace, when there is no peace. We looked for peace, but no good came. And for a time of health, and behold, trouble. Now that sounds just about the way that man is today, doesn't it? It sounds just about like man's kind of peace, what Jeremiah said. You know, also in John chapter 14 and verse 27, the Bible says, Jesus said, peace I leave with you. And then he, after that comma, he said, my peace I give unto you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Well, I sure love it when the Lord talks that way, aren't you? Peace I leave with you. The true peace is with the Lord. The true peace is with the Lord Jesus Christ and His peace. He called it my peace. I give unto you. Now, He's either telling the truth or He's not. The Lord's intention for us concerning peace has nothing to do with this peace that the world's talking about. The world ain't got no idea what peace is, but they're pursuing it. And they ain't got no idea what it looks like, what it smells like, when it's going to be here, or how to bring it in. But wars, now that's something man knows about. And I'm going to tell you about that in a minute. But the Lord said, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. And then John chapter 16, verse 33, listen to this. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me, notice the Lord said again, me, ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation. Did you get that? So if the Lord Jesus Christ said that we're going to have tribulation, the body of Christ, the church, then how are these knuckleheads that don't have anything to do with Christ or anything to do with what real peace is or the Lord's peace, how are they going to bring peace in? The Lord said, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. And He says, these things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. There's our hope, and there's our peace. You see, two different kinds of peace. Two different kinds of peace. The idea of a man, the measure of all things, he has an idea of peace, but it's not come to fruition yet, and it's never going to. I know they don't like hearing that, but that's just the way things are, and that's the way things are going to be. Matthew, we was talking about the Lord, how the Lord Jesus Christ and the prophet Jeremiah and others addressed peace and war. Now, that's peace we just got through talking about, what the Lord said about it and what Brother Jeremiah said about it. But how about war? What's the Bible say about war? Matthew chapter 10 and verse 34, the Lord said again, think not that I am come to send peace on earth. Now, He just got through telling us that He's leaving us His peace, my peace. But He said when it comes to the world, He said, think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. There's that lovey-dovey, huggy-kissy, warm-fuzzy Savior Jesus the world thinks about. He said, I come, but He said, I came not to send peace. Now, does it get any more simpler than that or plainer than that? Jesus said, I came not to send peace, but a sword. Now, that's something that man knows about. Man knows how to kill each other. He knows how to make war. He knows. And the Lord does too. But man tries to make himself look like, oh, we ain't hurting nobody. We ain't fighting one another. We ain't killing nobody. Peace is coming in. No, it ain't. Peace ain't coming in. Man, the measure of all things, don't know one stinking thing about peace. Do you know where there's any peace among the world, in the world? You save up a big bank account, what do? You take a plane and go out in the most remote area where there's nobody around so you can have a little peace, huh? Listen, considering this war thing, James chapter 4 and verse 1 and 2 says, from whence come wars and fightings among you? James even admitted that he seen the fruit. He says, y'all warring and fighting. And he was disciplining the church. He was disciplining the saints about wars and fightings. Come they not hence? This is how you get war and fightings. Listen to this. From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence even of your lusts that war in your members? Ye lust and have not, ye kill and desire to have, and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, yet ye have not, because ye ask not. I want nothing to do with God. Instead, you're going to fight and take it. That's the world. That's the world's idea. The world's idea is we're just going to war, and we're going to war. And the Bible's not foreign to the word war. And the Lord Jesus Christ is not embarrassed to talk about war. The Bible calls him a man of war. And when the Bible says he comes back, talking about the second advent, he says he's not coming back as the lamb that he did in the first coming when he was born of the Virgin Mary. He came as a lamb then. But this next time, on the second advent, he's coming as a lion to make war. He's not coming to see if anybody wants to fight or see if anybody's going to start a fight with him. Jesus is coming to make war, the Bible says. God's not against war. Wars are just wars. And there's going to be plenty of them, and especially when the Lord comes. He's going to slaughter lots of folks. The Bible says the blood's going to flow to the horse's bridle. That's pretty deep. That's a lot of blood. Romans chapter 3 and verse 10 through 8, talking about war now. And what our subject this time in our study of man, the measure of all things, is wars. What wars? That's man's conclusion. You say something about, well, everybody's always fighting. Fighting? Wars? What wars? The Bible says in Romans chapter 3, verse 10 through 18, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There's none that understandeth. There's none that seeketh after God. They're all gone out of the way. They're together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulchre. Nothing but filth comes out of it. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace they have not known. See, peace is a way. And the way of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes, you see. And there's the problem. There's the problem. But man says that he ain't got no wars. So let's check the fruit. And according to the Scripture, the Scripture's not ashamed to talk about peace. It's not ashamed to talk about war. It talks about it all over the place. Man says there is peace, and he is going to make it happen. The Lord and the prophets say there is not, and it will not happen until Jesus Christ, the King, comes back. Who's right? Well, check the fruit. Man, the measure of all things. I've got these, and I can't explain them to you, but I looked up the wars. I looked up as many wars as I could find, and I found a pretty good chart of wars. It includes 218 pages of wars. It starts in 3100 B.C. Yeah, goes way back there, and it mentions the start of the war, the finish of the war, the name of the conflict, the victorious parties who won the war and who got defeated. The very first war that's mentioned on this chart was in 3100 B.C. 5,000 years ago is recorded. I mean, you can get this all. I got it offline, online. You can get the same thing. I got it right here on the charts on the lesson. There's 218 pages of wars that include 2,265 wars since 31 B.C. There's probably 10 to 15. Well, the first chart, the very first chart, goes from 3100 B.C. to 2450 B.C. And let's see. Let me just give you a rundown of this. Man says there wasn't no wars, okay? Well, let's go all the way back. And that's not even before. That's not even including what was before 3100 B.C. 3100 B.C. to 1000 A.D., 3100 B.C. to 1000 A.D., there was 475 wars that are legitimately recorded, and I have them right here in front of me. 45 pages to put them wars down. That's from 3100 B.C. to 1000 A.D. Man, the measure of all things. Wars? What wars? Well, wait a minute. Let's move on. All right. From 1000 A.D. to 1499 A.D., there's 295 wars, which took up 24 pages of wars. That's not all. From 1499 or 1500 A.D. to 1799, there was 430 wars. 37 pages of wars between 1500 A.D. and 1799. Man, war? What? We're bringing in peace, man. Check the fruit. That's quite a bit of fruit. From 1800 A.D. to 1899, 100 years, 481 wars recorded. 41 pages worth of wars in 100 years between 1800 and 1899. From 1900 A.D. to 1944, now we're getting pretty close to home now. This is probably where your grandpa was, or your great-grandpa. 1900 A.D. to 1944 A.D., 234 wars. Got them right here in front of me. You can get them. Just give me a send me a message to Barnhouse Ministries at gmail.com, and I'll send these things to you. 234 wars, 25 pages of wars. Man, the measure of all things. We're bringing in peace, man. Really? Really, really? 1945 A.D. to 1989. Now, this is in your era. 1945 A.D. to 1989 A.D., 203 wars. 23 pages of wars. From 1945 to 1989. What's that? 44 years? 44 years, 203 wars. That's pretty busy. That's pretty busy fighting, ain't it? What did the Bible say? Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways. And the way of peace had they not known. There's no fear of God before their eyes. Oh, man, man is the measure of all things. What wars? We don't fight. We're bringing in peace, man. 1945 A.D. to 1989, 203 wars with 23 pages of wars. All right, let's move on. 1990 to 2002, 69 wars and 11 pages of wars. I mean, wars? What wars? That's not all. How about 2003 to 2010? 7 years. 43 wars. 8 pages of wars. 8 pages of wars. Man don't fight about nothing. Man is a peace man. Come on, man. How about 2011 A.D. to 2017 A.D.? 2011 to 2017. And that's where we're going to stop, because that's the only place, that's the place where the charts ended. But I'd like to find out what went on between 18 and 22. But from 2011 A.D. to 2017 A.D., how many you imagine? That's, what, 6 years? 35 wars. 35 wars. 4 pages of nothing but war. Nothing but war. You say, well, what kind of war? Well, for instance, let me just pull one out of the hat here. 2016, and a lot of these wars, when it says start and finish, in the finish block of the war, it says ongoing. And it shows what countries are involved in it. All kinds of stuff. I mean, people are fighting everywhere. 2017, in there, 2017, Afghanistan, Pakistan, border skirmish, part of the Pakistan-Afghanistan skirmishes. It says the Victorian Party was Pakistan, and Afghanistan got defeated. I mean, that's what it's like. All the way from 3100 B.C., to 2017, in 6 years, 35 wars. Man, come on. Check the fruit. Check that fruit. In 5,117 years, from 3100 to 2017, and 5,117 years divided by 2,265 wars equals one war every 2.25 years. There's a war that kicks off every 2 years, or a little over 2 years. What? Man, the measure of all things. Warren, how ridiculous is that? It ain't ridiculous. It's a fact. It's fruit. Got it right here on all these charts. On all these charts. You can get that. You can get it right. I mean, there's a... I'd like to get the ones that go back beyond 3100. But I think 31... looks like man's been fighting the whole time, doesn't it? See, man pretends that he wants peace. But he's a liar. What he wants is control, is what he wants. That's what he means by peace. As long as I'm in charge and I'm controlling things and you're obeying and you're doing what you're told to do and you're paying what I'm telling you to pay and giving what I tell you to give and you're satisfying me and blabbity, blabbity, blab, blab, then we'll be all right. Most of the time, man is too stubborn and proud to go very long serving somebody else, and he steps out and rebels, and we got another war. Let's fight. And that's all man's ever been doing, is fighting. War? What wars? Nothing but war, man. Man is nothing but a war, just war. Excuse me. You want to bring in peace and a kingdom, eh? And by the looks of it, with the fruit, it's a wonder that there's anyone left. So who do you believe, man, the measure of all things, or Jesus Christ and the Word of God and the prophets? Who do you believe? We're talking about man, the measure of all things, and we're specifically talking about wars. Man hasn't been doing anything but fighting. to wonder anybody's around. The man, the measure of all things, educated himself well on how to kill and war with his own kind. But there'll be no peace until the Prince of Peace gets here and sets up his kingdom. That's a fact. That's what the Bible says. Man cannot even make peace. And I don't know why he even talks about peace. It's ridiculous. He's retarded. He's talking about peace and what a mockery, what a contradiction. A man talking about peace and ain't been doing nothing but fighting all down through history and going to continue until Jesus comes. That's man the measure of all things. And I'm a man. I'm part of that. But that's what the facts are. That's what the fruit shows. There's not going to be any peace until the Prince of Peace gets here and sets up his kingdom. Maybe ceasefires and to reload, but not peace. There's ceasefires, sure, but not peace. Not peace. Isaiah chapter 9, the Bible says, 9 verse 6, it says, "For unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." Man, the measure of all things, doesn't have any idea what peace is. He didn't have any idea what peace is. Not any idea. He has desires of peace, but as far as what peace is when it comes to the Lord Jesus Christ and the real peace that's going to come, where there's not going to be any lusts and hatred and malice and thievery and all this sin in the world, when Jesus gets in charge, there's still going to be sin. And people that are not saved during the millennium. But the government and the world is going to be run by righteousness. And Jesus is going to rule with a rod of iron, whether you like it or not. You see. And that's the way it's going to be. And from the time that we get with Jesus, whether it be the rapture or whether it be by death, when we go to be with the Lord, it's going to be nothing but progressive peace from that time on. When we go to sleep and leave our bodies and go to be with the Lord, it's going to be nothing but progressive peace through the millennium and beyond. Just more peace and more peace and more peace. But what about wars? Well, the fruit shows different than what man claims, doesn't it? I believe the Lord, and I know man. I know what man wants to do. Man wants his way, and he's willing to war to get it and to be in charge. And anything but God. Well, what about some unsolved problems of man right now? Not in the past, 3100 B.C., what are some unsolved problems that man has right now? Seem like a man that's the measure of all things would be able to satisfy a bunch of problems. I mean, if problems come up, he'd be able to take care of this matter in a hurry, wouldn't he? You know, if man stopped everything around the entire world and all men come together in unity, like they will try to do again, they're going to try to do it again, how long would it take for man to solve just the problems that I'm fixing to tell you? Some of the problems that man has in the world today that he's not solved. Seem like a man, the measure of all things, would be able to solve at least a couple problems every now and then, don't you? 1 year, 5 years, 10 years, how long? How long is it going to take man to solve these problems? You know what? The answer is it's not possible. Why? Because these are not the problems. These are the symptoms of the problems that I'm fixing to mention to you. So what is the problem? The problem is man, the measure of all things, of course. Man is the problem. Man is the problem. Now, I hate to put that to you, but that's the truth. I'm a man. And if you tell the truth of your condition, when you really start getting close to the Lord, you'll really start telling the truth about what you really, 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 really are. Not what you've done, but what you are. All right, what about the curse? The curse that Adam and Eve got put on them, on mankind. How come man can't solve that? The pain and the suffering, the disease, starvation, birth defects, death rate, still 100%. Earthquakes, tornadoes, hurricanes, floods, droughts, famines, mudslides, thunderstorms, lightning strikes, avalanches, blizzards, tidal waves, and tsunamis. Seemed like man had been able to solve them kind of problems, wouldn't he? You can't solve them problems? You can't stop an earthquake? You can't stop a tornado? You know what they call it? Instead of giving God the glory and asking Him to kind of guide those things around you to keep you safe, they call it Mother Nature. You know, Mother Nature. They just, man won't give God the glory for nothing. What about the second law of thermodynamics? There's entropy in a closed system. Everything is breaking down and getting worse and worse and worse. And the time that it gets worse is getting shorter and shorter and shorter. You buy a new car, what's it going to do? It's going to go to junkyard eventually. A brand new baby's born, what's going to happen? Brand new baby, boy, the smell of a brand new baby is just something else, ain't it? All that soft flesh they got, brand new and everything else. Then what happens? They grow up. They start getting, and they get old. And they wrinkle up, and they decay, and they go back to the grave. Man can't stop that. Why not? These are unsolved problems. What about abortion? There's more people fighting about abortion, and it ain't nothing but a big stinking shame that grown-ups are fighting about whether or not somebody has a right to kill somebody, some other human being. I got my rights. The only right any man has is the right to do right and not do wrong, according to the Bible. 2,000 abortions a day, consecutive, conservative estimate. What about arson? What about authority? Who's in charge? Man ain't been able to settle that. What about bad business? Bad business. What about the Bible, the book? Man has not got over God's word yet. He ain't got past that book yet. What about bombings? How come man can't stop bombings? What about cannibalism? That's real. They actually grow in human meat for selling and eating it. Really, really? They're growing human meat to sell, to eat. What about capital punishment? How come man can't figure that out? What about children aborting children? Well, I was just reading the news yesterday, and there was a fella that stuck his six-year-old kid's head down the toilet and drowned him after he hit him in the head with something, his kids. And there was a 14-year-old that raped a 10-year-old, and then there was a big deal about a 10-year-old girl that was raped, and she got pregnant, and she went across the state line and had an abortion. A 10-year-old had an abortion. What does a 10-year-old know about anything? They're supposed to have ponytails and playing with dolls and out playing on swing sets with girls and running around just being as pure as they can be. What does a 10-year-old know about being raped and know about abortion? Problems, unsolved problems, You mean man can't stop a 10-year-old girl from being raped? Man can't figure out what to do with the person that does rape her? Man can't figure out what to do with the baby? A 10-year-old having a child? Man got some problems, and they're unsolved. What about children fornicating? I saw, they're teaching that kind of stuff in the real young schools, in K-5 and K-4 and stuff like that, teaching that nasty stuff. They teach children how to use condoms. Children. What about children suicide? A child committing suicide? You mean the youngest girl was named Samantha, so far that we know about. A young girl, and all due respect to their mom and dad if they hear this, a young girl named Samantha, 5 years old, came home one day from school. Mama said, go to your room, because she was being naughty. She went to her room, got up on the bunk bed on the top, and hung a belt around her neck and around that bunk bed and jumped and hung herself. And they called it, on her death certificate, a suicide. 5 years old. Now, what is it about man that has such an unsolved problem concerning this matter that he can't figure out how to make a 5-year-old's life good enough to where she can't just stand there and look around and see everything that's going on in the world and say, this ain't for me. There's nothing here for me. I just go kill myself. Nothing worth living. 5-year-old said nothing worth living for. A 5-year-old. What about the coronavirus? Man ain't got control of that. That's unsolved. What about crime? Man ain't got control of that. That's an unsolved problem. I mean, come on, man. Man, the measure of all things. What about death? What about debt? What about deceit? What about the differences between the sexes? Why, man, talking about the measure of all things, he can't even figure out whether he's a girl or a boy now. You know, when that coronavirus started, when it very first started, I was taking notes. And when they started counting all the dead, from the very first beginning of that thing, they was putting it down on the record as sexes, male and female. How many men died, how many women died. But one thing that was interesting about it, was sick about it, differences between the sexes at the beginning of COVID-19, there was 17,000 and something men that had died in this certain period of time, and the women were 17,000 and something, and then they had another category. They had 33 that had died of coronavirus that were unknowns. They couldn't tell whether they were boys or girls. Yeah. Unknowns could not be identified as either male or female. Do what? Man's not solving problems. What about dignity failing? Man not got dignity or integrity or character anymore. Or does he? Do you think his fruit shows it? What about drinking deaths? People drinking themselves to death. What about drought? Drug trafficking? These are just problems that man hadn't fixed up yet. What about earthquakes? Environmental pollution? What about envy? What about equal rights demanders? Euthanasia? Old folks getting a license to go in there and kill themselves. People just sit right there and give them a drink and tell them, if you drink this, you're going to die. Okay. The Bible says to honor old men and the widows and the hoary head if it be found in righteousness. Old men and old women are supposed to be respected. And the Bible in the Old Testament tells you that when an old man or an old woman walks by, you're supposed to rise up for them. I remember the day when we used to sit in a barber shop and an old man would come in there and you hear cling, cling, cling on the door. That was back when there's real barber shops. And you open the door and he'd walk in there with a cane. As soon as he turned around and shut the door, everybody in the barber shop would be standing up. and then sit back down to honoring eternal punishment, eternity, false advertisements. Man's not settled these things, unsolved problems. What about famine? What about fatal diseases? What about fear and fires and flies and gnats? Man can't even keep a gnat off of him. A gnat would drive you crazy. Flies and gnats. Man can't solve that problem. He'd get out the raid and get out the sprays and all those little gnat things that you light up and smoke on the porch or whatever. Fatal diseases, yeah. Floods. Can't stop them. Man ain't figured that out yet. Flu. Influenza killed untold amount of people and still doing it. What about the food supply and the farming? Man ain't settled that problem. What about fornication? Man can't keep his britches up. What about the gender identity nuts? What about gender digression? What about God? Man's not settled the problem with God yet. You ever heard anybody talk? You ever heard any of these atheists and these God haters talk about God? Well, I'll tell you what, you ought to listen to them sometime. There's some people out there that genuinely hate God. They say they don't believe in him, but they hate him. And they'll tell you how much they hate him. I mean, hate him with a passion. And the Lord said, it's hard to believe that somebody would say that they hate God. But the Lord said that he's going to render to them, he knows who hates him. There are genuine people that hate and despise God. Man ain't solved that problem. What about the gun laws and owning weapons? Man ain't solved that problem. What about hate crimes? Hate crimes? Man ain't solved that problem. What about a headache? Man, the measure of all things, can't overcome a headache. How about health problems, cancer and diseases and heart diseases and things like that? What about heaven and hell? Man ain't solved that problem. What about how to get off this planet? You'd think someone knows something is going on. You'd think someone knows something's going to happen to this planet, huh? Billions of dollars are thinking so. I mean, they're spending a lot of money to try to figure out how to get off this planet. What about human trafficking? Man ain't figured out how to solve that problem. Hurricanes, integrity, international terrorism. Man ain't figured out how to solve that problem. Wars? What wars? What about jobs and unemployment and work? Man ain't figured out how to solve that problem. What about lies and lying? He ain't figured out how to solve that. Lightning strikes. Man can't control that. How come he ain't figured out how to stop lightning from tearing things up? What about living without education of the truth? He ain't figured out how to solve that problem. Matter of fact, he's moving away from it as fast as he can. And lust? Man is the only one on the planet that would let their fellow human beings live in the street and in the filth of humanity, all the while putting aside thousands of acres of sacred land for the sacred animals and think that it's all right to do that. Man is the only one that does that. What about mankind killing each other? And we just got through talking about that. Wars, wars, wars. Started with Cain. And no one stopped it yet. What about the minority train? Man ain't figured out how to do anything about that yet. Morality, murder, mass shootings. You can't stop a kid from going in and blowing away 14 kids in a school. Man ain't figured out that problem, how to fix that. What about the news media? Man ain't figured out how to fix that or what to do about that. Nuclear threats, old age, pain, the peace process, phone call liars and cheats. Man can't even stop people from calling you on the phone and lying to you, try to steal your money. He ain't figured out how to do that. What about plane crashes? In 2015, it was one major plane crash a week. Man can't figure out how to stop crashing planes. What about poisons and pride? What about the prison population in the USA? You know something? 5% of the world population, in the USA, the USA is 5% of the world population, and it houses 25% of the world's prisoners. Now, you think about that. Man, can you figure out how to solve that problem, keep people out of prison? What about the punishment of the wicked? What about racism and differences and all that gobbledygook? Man can't figure out how to get along and figure out that problem. These are unsolved problems. What about religious disunity? What about right and wrong? Who decides what's right and wrong? Man can't figure that out. These are problems that man has right now, this very second, that he ain't figured out how to put to rest. What about the rights? I know my rights. What about roaches and rats and insects infestations? You can't get rid of roaches, man. What about safety, sanity, Satan worship? Save the animals and the platypuses. What about saving natural resources? Man ain't solved that. What about the school systems? Not the ABCs anymore, folks. What about science, so-called? What about security and lock-up? What about having to lock everything up? Lock your car, lock your house, lock your windows, lock your safe, lock your guns, lock your this, lock your that. What about segregation? Man can't figure out how to solve that. Self defense means go to jail. Bad is good, and good is bad now. Man can't figure out how to protect yourself. He can't figure out what bad and good is. What about sexual perversion? What about sexual promiscuity and sin? Man ain't figured out how to solve them problems. What about sorcery and the legal dope-making pharmaceuticals? Starvation, stealing, lying, cheating, suicide, theft, tornadoes, tsunamis, unification efforts from Babel. What about war? What about your watch running down? What about your car breaking down? What about batteries running out of juice? What about food spoiling? Growing old and dying? Or what about what's out there in space, the Hubble telescope? Man, I ain't figured out how to solve that yet. Why people are always searching to be anybody else but what they are? Ain't solved that yet. Women wanting to be in charge, domineering, imaginative escape from God and reality. Ain't solved that problem yet. Women are in charge of a lot of things, but that ain't solved the problem. Women are really men because they say so. Men are really women because they say so. And a country's authorities backs up this preposterous claim. Man ain't solved that problem. When asked on a documentary about soldiers' experiences over in Vietnam concerning killing others, this is a titled documentary called First Kill. Interesting documentary. It's got a lot of spiritual stuff in it about how man's real nature is in wartime, how man's nature comes out in war. They all agreed that killing people over there, everybody that was in that movie that they are in that documentary from Vietnam that they interviewed said the same thing. They said, well, you can't take us over there and teach us how to kill people and then bring us back and not let us do it. And they ask him, what do you want to do? Well, I want to go back over there. Why? To kill. And they said, well, why do you want to do that? And every one of them answered the same thing and said that they all agreed that it was like having sex, even better. They said that killing somebody was a better lust than sex. They didn't even know why they answered that way, only that it was true. That's man's fallen nature. Man ain't figured out how to do that, that killing somebody would be better than sexual relations. That's that lust in man. That does, you ought to watch that documentary if you can, because it's got a lot of man's nature in there that it talks about. You know, in 2020, talking about the disasters, in 2020, the billion-dollar disasters, 2016 was about 14, 2017 was about 15 billion-dollar disasters that happened. Back in 1980 to 2019, the average was probably $6 billion disasters in America. All right. 2020 had 16 billion-dollar disasters. Man ain't figured out how to stop disasters. Billion-dollar disasters. You're talking about lightning and fire and tornadoes and hurricanes and winter storms and floods and droughts. All that stuff. Man, the measure of all things. A lot of problems he ain't solved. He better get busy. All right. Well, we're going to stop right there. Interesting, huh? War? What wars? Unsolved problems. Man ain't got no problems. We're solving everything, man. Yeah. Don't think so. I mean, what the Lord says, man, the measure of all things is not the measure that he imagines, is he? Not the measure that he imagined. And you see, man goes right on, the Bible says, deceiving and being deceived in the last days. Man's going to live by nothing but deceit. He's going to deceive himself and deceive others, and others are going to deceive him, and everybody's going to live in deceit. Rather than facing and taking care of all these problems and not having any wars. That's man's nature. You see? Man, the measure of all things. Yeah. Well, all right. Let me give you these scriptures for today. We didn't have a whole lot of them, but God's Word is why we're here, isn't it? Matthew chapter 7, verse 20. Jeremiah chapter 8. Verse 11 and 15, John chapter 14, verse 27, John chapter 16, verse 23, Matthew chapter 10, verse 34, James chapter 4, verse 1 and 2, Romans chapter 3, verse 10 through 18, and Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. That was the last one that we had for our lesson today. Okay, brothers and sisters, we're going to have probably one or two more lessons in this, and we'll just finish up this thing and wind up what man, the measure of all things, really is. And when we started this thing out, it started out pretty good, didn't it? And in the present, man's state, man, the measure of all things, has a choice. Either live or die, either saved or damned, one or the other. And the final state of man is permanent. Whatever man goes into eternity is permanent. And then we started talking about man and all the fruit. And the fruit's not really showing up pretty good, is it? It's not giving a real good resume for man, the measure of all things. You know, that's what we are. We're sinners. We're sinners. We cursed with a curse. Even the earth is cursed. And the animal kingdom is cursed. And the Lord came and died, and He's going to fix all that stuff. He's going to fix it. It's already in the making. And Jesus said it's finished. It just hasn't come to fruition yet. Little by little. All right. Well, we'll stop right there. And the next part that we're going to get into and talk about is measure. What measure? Measure. What measure? And we'll talk some more about man, the measure of all things. Okay? Thank you for joining in and studying all the way through. Let's honor the Lord and do the things that are pleasing in His sight. Amen. I love you with Christ's love. This is Brother Thurman with the ABCs of Christian Growth. Bye-bye.